morning, everyone. Welcome to the JS Online and Packers News Packers Podcast. I am Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and I'm here with Jim Osarski of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And we have just bore witness to the first shutout, Green Bay Packers shutout since 2010. That was against the New York Jets. I was there for that 9-0 thriller and about 50 mile an hour winds. Tim Mastey was the MVP of that game. This time around, kind of a uneven game, not exactly one you would put down on your resume, but defense played pretty well. What did you take from this game?
Yeah, first of all, for those of you who listened to this podcast earlier in the week, thank you. But you might remember that I think I said this was the get well game for the Packers defense, and it had to be. And if it wasn't, there might be some bigger issues than what had already been seen the first 3 weeks. And I think that was the case. Rookie quarterback Mike Pettine threw a lot at him.
He did.
Really, really gave Josh Allen all he could handle. And, not that Josh Allen can really complete any passes anyway.
Yeah.
credit where it's due. You got to win these games and beat those teams, and the Packers defense did that. 145 total yards. That's an impressive number. That's the lowest allowed since, 109 against Tampa.
Yeah.
About 4 years ago or so. And shutouts are very difficult to get.
They are. I'm going to go right into the hottest part about this game. And so,
that's why I figured I'd hit on that first.
Yeah, well, I asked you. So that was just to kind of put it all in perspective. Mm-hmm. So when the game was over, I felt like their offense was not really that clean, that they had not played a great game. They had settled for too many field goals. They ran the ball pretty well, but there were a lot of just missed opportunities, 5 drops at least, and Rodgers a little off mark. Anyway, so that's my thought. I'm going to write about just a little bit disjointed offense. They're not there yet. So I talked to some guys in the locker room. Then I go to the press conference for Rodgers, and it was like a funeral. Like he was burying the offense. Terrible, he called it. The quotes were pretty jolting and way in contrast to what Mike McCarthy said after the game. McCarthy seemed quite happy that they had pulled that off. And I think you have to listen to Rodgers to get the full appreciation of what he said. So I'm going to play a couple of the comments from him, and you can kind of make your own judgment.
It was as bad as we played on offense with that many yards in a long time.
A feeling that you were out of sync, everybody? Is that kind of?
No, I think a lot of people played really good. But there was no flow to the game. There was a little bit in the first half after that.
Do you think it had anything to do with all the personnel combinations and things you were using?
I mean, that's not a question for me.
Your mood doesn't seem like greatest after this. Are you a little concerned about getting offense going as the season goes on?
Yeah, we were championship defensive level and non-playoff team offensive level today. That was not great by any stretch of the imagination. We need to find ways to get our playmakers in position to get some more opportunities. You know, a game like today, Devontae is a tough cover for anybody, but he should have 20 targets today. They really couldn't stop him. And then they dared to play one high a few times. So we got to find ways to get him involved and Jimmy as well.
So what I came away from there was that there is some discord, some disconnection. I'm not sure what other adjectives that I can butcher for this, but, they're not seeing eye to eye.
Yeah. I think
you can hear that in Roger's comments.
Right. And I guess what's interesting with that is, you know, Rodgers admitted, you know, he kind of had to physically fight through to get to practice Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I thought, you know, he looked pretty good Sunday. But to that point, though, about McCarthy, I mean, he, if the quarterback isn't practicing, and the, I guess I'm curious about that. You know what I mean? Like, I what game plans are being developed? Is it developed because the play caller doesn't think the quarterback can do certain things because he hasn't been able mm-hmm. to do it in practice, or the game film from the last couple weeks has shown there's been some inconsistency at times? I mean, we've talked to situational football with Rodgers and Joe Philbin the last few weeks and how that's been a tick off. I don't know. I am curious about, I mean, you're right. It is a definite difference with the quarterback not feeling in sync with the play call today or Sunday, Tom. But, you know, I don't know if there's blame to be put anywhere on that. Cause
well, I'll tell you what I observed, and this was sort of my idea heading into it, was that they're missing Randall Cobb, who's mm-hmm. out with a hamstring injury.
Right.
And they sort of plug in Marquez Valdez-Scantling, but not like completely committed to him. They're going with Jimmy Graham and Mercedes Lewis.
Yeah.
Jimmy Graham.
A lot of three tight end sets Sunday.
Yeah, and Lance Kendricks, some three tight end sets. Then they're rotating the three backs, which by number worked, but there's no question that Aaron Jones should be playing more. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that. This is still about Rodgers. And there was something, you know, he had 14 targets at Davante Adams, yet he said there should have been 20. And he threw to Allison a lot, didn't throw much to Jimmy Graham. There's just something he's not liking about what they're doing. And I think it's possible McCarthy was playing a conservative game to win, you know, make sure that his defense played a defensive game and try to get the running game going a little bit. But there's just something he did not like about it. And I think part of it could be that his numbers aren't very good.
That's fair. That's,
I mean, he's watching, you know, Drew Brees just toss the ball around the yard, Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins. Even Alex Smith had a big day against him.
Mitchell Trubisky threw
6 TDs.
That's almost Aaron Rodgers' season total.
Yeah, yeah, it is. He's got 7 TDs, and Mitch Trubisky throws 6 in one game.
Yeah.
So I think he's a little frustrated by that.
And to me, so Tom, I'm curious how you, if you can recall the game, or maybe we can venture back to this later in the week. But, you know, I thought Aaron Rodgers took some interesting deep shots late in the game when he clearly had, at least I thought, options to extend a drive, like some dumps. I guess if a guy could force it, I mean, the passes were pretty close to being completed for the most part, but it seemed like he was willing to push the envelope with some deep throws late in the game when he had some underneath options. I understand there's route trees and concepts where those are all, and Aaron Rodgers can use all of them, but in hindsight, when I hear him and he's upset or frustrated, and I think back to, why didn't he just dump it to Lance Kendricks for 5 yards in the first down instead of throwing it 36 yards down the field to try to score a touchdown?
Right.
Like, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's unrelated, but it, when the quarterback speaks like that, it just makes me think about, you know, him wanting to maybe push the envelope a little
bit. I think there's obviously there's some things that we don't know about. So we look at some matchups. We don't really – he may be looking at some things and going, oh, fine, okay, my one-on-one matchup is outside, then I'll just go deep with that.
Yeah.
You know, I want Davante Adams over the middle, but here's, based on my game plan, my shot is down the field.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm very curious to hear. McCarthy will downplay it tomorrow, and on Wednesday, or on Monday, and on Wednesday, Rodgers will say, oh, no, I wasn't really ripping Mike.
Right.
You know, that's, you guys took it out of context. But there's no question there's some dissatisfaction there.
Yeah, and it's interesting because on the other hand, I mean, the quarterback is the one with the ball. So if he wants any player to get however many targets, I mean,
he can do it.
He can do.
Yeah.
He can do it. I mean, maybe he thought things should have been run for Devontae.
Yeah.
Or run for someone else, because really, Jeromel Allison, that was a career high 11 targets.
Yeah.
Before he was knocked out with a possible concussion, and that was just through three quarters.
Right.
And he had some drops, but you know, Valdes-Scantling had three targets only.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, it was interesting on what he was. What he meant by the playmaker comment. You know, why not just feed Jimmy Graham then?
Right, right.
Why does Jimmy Graham have 12 targets?
But maybe he just feels they're not attacking him the way that he would like to see it.
Right.
I just don't know.
It was an interesting thing to say after getting back in the win column for the first time in, you know, in 3 weeks.
Yeah, and he was pretty short on stuff, too. You know,
yeah.
I asked him does he want more input in the offense? And, oh, no, it goes this – well, he didn't say no. I asked him, was he getting the same amount of input? Coaches give me the game plan. I tell them what I like, and off we go.
Right.
To me, that was saying, you know, if you really don't think that's a problem, you're like, no. That we're still doing that. They still check with me.
Yeah.
No, I think he's hiding some frustration over the way things are going.
So. Yeah. I mean, look, this, you know, 29 points against the Vikings is your high watermark. And, you know, that was with five field goals.
Yeah.
And now you can look back in hindsight to a degree and think that Vikings defense isn't very good.
Well, and,
so,
and that really, that was a 22-point game because of the special teams
touchdown. Yeah, right. Yeah, there you go, 22 points.
So in two games. In three games, they've scored 22, 17, and 22.
Yeah.
So that's not the kind of offense that Aaron Rodgers is used to. Now, maybe he has to accept that he's not exactly the same guy, and he's having a hard time doing that. But I thought he did more today in terms of his knee than he had. He was under center, so.
Yeah. Looked really smooth with, I don't know if they were design boots, but far, you know, more willing to take that 7 to 12 yard run into the middle of the field.
Yep.
I mean, he's knowing he's not going to get drilled, but he still has to slide.
Yeah, he scrambled.
I mean,
4 carries, was it 31 yards?
Yeah,
I would say
he looked about as, this is a, you know, physically as good as he's looked since before the injury itself.
I agree. Now, from the other, before we get to why the defense was as good as it was, I think we need to examine that run game. And on paper, it was pretty darn good.
Yeah, they were over 5 yards, well over 5 yards a carry, up until the final few drives where it was kind of, you know, you just run it up the gut, Buffalo's loading up. But I think when it mattered, you know, they were ripping off some decent chunks.
Yeah, and, you know, if you look at it, though, I'm not alone here. I started writing this the first week of the – or week three, as soon as Aaron Jones was coming back, that they have to give this guy the ball. He has to be their primary running back. And, I mean, at one point, I'm going to say he had 8 touches and 4 of them – for the season, and 4 of them were 10 yards or more.
Yeah.
You know, and right now he's at, I think he's at 12, no, he's at 18 touches, and 5 of them are 10 or more yards or 6 of them.
I think, well, nearly 7 yards a touch.
Yeah, I mean.
For the season, I think.
And so McCarthy said they hit the number of snaps they wanted with him, or carries, which was 12. But really, I mean, he should have had 20. And I think he would have had a 150-yard game if they did. And I don't know what the issue is here other than he doesn't want to hurt Jamal Williams and Ty Montgomery's feelings.
Yeah.
I, Aaron Jones is not going to be wore down, I guess.
Yeah, it is interesting. You know, the rotation changed a little bit, you know, where they would go Williams, Montgomery, Jones. You know, Jones came back out to start a drive, and then I think Montgomery missed the series. Mm-hmm. If you're going to chart Williams him that did. Way. So, I mean, yeah. You know, on one hand, he was out there for more, and then actually one of those possessions was cut short by the interception. And it went right back, I think, to Jamal Williams. So, you're right. I'm going to sound kind of old school with this, Tom, I guess. There's fewer things you can do in this league to get, to me, an offense in rhythm is when you can successfully run the ball and run play action.
Yeah.
I mean, all the rule changes are what they are, and the schemes are what they are, but at the very end of the day, if you just want to get it going, that's a good way. And you have a running back who can do that, and, you know, Aaron Rodgers off play action, you give him that extra half beat, half, you know, beat and a half to look at something. That's a recipe for success that maybe, you know, they may have to talk about this week.
Yeah, I don't know how you take a guy who averages 5.9 yards per carry off the field and his one catch is for 17 yards. So that needs to change next week. We'll see against Detroit. On turf, I mean, if you're not giving them the ball 20 times, then I think you're making a mistake.
Yeah.
So I think we all kind of agree with that. Anything else offensively you saw that you want to comment on? Or
you know, the three tight end sets, you know, Mercedes Lewis kind of MIA for three weeks or so. I don't know what the final snap count would be, but he was out there, Lance Kendricks. Out there, and I thought actually one of the big runs for Jones was a Lance Kendrick kind of motion as a fullback, if you will. Curious, but and the reason I bring up the tight ends is because again, Jimmy Graham catches his first touchdown. He had a drop. I don't know. Again, quarter of the season, Tom. I don't know if have the Packers experienced a Jimmy Graham effect. I know after the Bears, it was like, well, so much attention, he opens up these other things and. You know, I don't know, six catches, touchdown, that's a good day, but it felt like there could have been more out there.
Yeah, well, three catches for 21 yards.
Six targets, I'm sorry.
Yeah, six targets. So not a very big day. I still want to see him stretch the field. I haven't seen that.
Right.
You know, I haven't seen him running by anybody. Now, whether that's because of the coverages, I don't know. But there have to have been some one-on-ones where we, you know, you would have thought he would have come free. Okay. So let's go over to defense, where this is their first game without Muhammad Wilkerson. Kevin King was out again. And at some point they lost Jair Alexander to a groin although he looked like he might be okay, especially after he celebrated Josh Jackson's pass breakup. I thought probably Pat McKenzie was probably choking when he saw him. Like,
he did. He took it. It was a dead sprint.
Yeah. It's like, don't do that. What did you think stood out about the defense?
Well, on one hand, it'd be easy to go with the sack number. And we'll touch on that. You know, I think sometimes it's hard to do the easy thing. And the easy thing was to make Josh Allen's life difficult through coverage, pressure, through looks and schemes. And look, Mike Pettine can do that. We talked about this prior to week one with Mitchell Trubisky, right? Younger quarterback, hasn't seen a whole lot. Can you confuse him, make things difficult? They should have done that because Josh Allen isn't very good. He's not accurate. And they did do it for the first time all season, four quarters of good football. And say what you want about how bad the Bills are, and they are, but they did beat the Vikings. They have scored points. So to pitch the shot, I think generally speaking, Tom, the idea that they could not even have a little bit of a lapse. They didn't hit Zay Jones for 45 yards on a deep post.
Right.
You know, Alexander comes out, Jermaine Whitehead drops into the slot. There's no 30-yard breakdowns. You know what I mean? I think some of those simple things that have just plagued this defense. They didn't have happen.
Yeah, and I think a lot of those seven sacks that they ended up having, a good portion were coverage sacks. You know, either Allen was confused about what he was seeing, or he didn't want to, you know, he couldn't quite pull the trigger on it, or he was confused.
Yeah.
He would hold on to the ball for just a tick too long, and they got to him. But the pressure was pretty good, and I thought Pettine dialed up a few more blitzes, a few more different looks than he had. Got a little more aggressive.
Yeah, I mean, Antonio Morrison had a free run and a clean quarterback hit.
Yeah, yeah.
Jermaine White had a sack, had another near sack.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's been used a lot more as sort of that, I don't want to call it a linebacker, but he's essentially playing like
an
a
inside linebacker.
Role.
A nickel linebacker, yeah.
You know, a little more successful with his blitzes, and you're right, just to have them to dial it up like that is... Hey, look, you got to have success at some point, right? You have to find out what you can and can't do, and, you know, maybe this helps them. Maybe guys like Reggie Gilbert and Kyler Fackrell, this is the type of thing they need.
Yeah. After ripping the safeties in my column on Sunday, I have to give some props to Clinton Dix for the interception he had. That was a really good, aggressive, go-after-the-ball kind of play.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, he collided with Kelvin Benjamin, and I don't know if Benjamin was ever listed as a concussion.
Yeah, I think he was evaluated, and he never returned. Yeah, when the mouthpiece goes flying, that's not it. Now, I will say this. Look, we spent a lot of time for 3 weeks, Tom, talking about flags and what's a flag and all.
Mm-hmm.
No flags for roughing the passer.
Yeah.
And even the Clinton Dix, look, when there's a collision like that and a receiver is knocked flat on his back, clearly out from the moment it happened, you know, they're told, the refs are told, throw it.
Right.
Throw it. And I will say I didn't think there was a dirty play at all ever in there. And the refs let him play.
Yeah, they did. They did. Now, Clinton Dix was clearly going after the ball.
Yeah.
So, I thought he was indemnified from that. But if we look the rest of the stat sheet, Kyler Fackrell has 3 sacks. That's shocking.
He's blowing his kisses to you, Tom.
Yeah, that was a heck of a game by him. I mean, he really, I think he used his speed to his advantage. They're going to need a whole lot more of that, that's for sure. Matthews and Perry shared a sack. Blake Martinez had a nice blitz sack. Reggie Gilbert had a sack. You mentioned Whitehead. So there's 7 sacks right there, plus 4 more quarterback hits, 2 interceptions, 5 pass breakups. Josh Jackson had a couple of pass breakups.
Yeah. Kenny Clark's forced and recovered fumble.
That's right.
So 3
Kenny
turnovers
Clark.
In a game when they had 2 coming in.
Right. And so it's Buffalo. Let's not make too much out of it. They're going to face a better offensive team in Detroit next week. But and they probably won't really face a good offensive team until they come back to the Rams, right?
Yeah.
So it's Detroit, then San Francisco, then the bye.
Yeah.
And then the Rams,
then
right?
Then the Rams and New England, yeah.
Wow.
So I mean, but I think, you know, this team, I guess, has been told, at least from the coaches, okay, you're wildly inconsistent. Times where you've been good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we've seen that where, you know, they'll go a quarter and a half of looking really good.
Yeah.
That was sort of the message they got this week. They put it together for 4 quarters. You know, Tremont Williams, ever the sage, wise veteran, said, look, you know, we are going to play teams that are more explosive than this, where, you know, you just try to contain it rather than, you know, do what they did today. But, you know, for a young group, Tom, where you got a lot of rookies, you know, you got 2 corners, second-year corner Kevin King. Like, you got a lot of younger guys, I guess, that, you know, maybe this is a type of thing that clicks for them.
Mm-hmm.
We are good. Or, oh, we can do this thing that they've been telling us. Now we've seen it on film. You know.
Yeah, I think they just have to had to build up some capital.
Yeah.
And they need to continue to build up some capital for those really big games.
Yeah.
And, you know, gain a little bit of confidence.
And the offense, going back to how we started this, offense can't be scoring 22 points.
No.
When they play the Rams and the Patriots.
Right. And right. That's got to be solved by then.
Right.
So I think that's about it, unless there's anything else you want to add on this game. It was...
No, 2-1-1, keeping pace with the Bears in the division.
Yeah, the Mighty Bears. The
Mighty Bears.
Look out for them. Just destroying Tampa. Wow.
Detroit with a bad loss. So this is one of those things where, you know, the Vikings, I mean, you go into Detroit, you can, this can kind of change. You know, we hit the quarter pole, and now it's into that, as the coaches like to say, the second quarter. And this is where this needs to come together, I think. So I'm very curious, Tom, this week. What I'm looking forward to is how this is resolved between the coach and the quarterback.
Yeah.
And how it plays out. But I think they needed a win. Let's put it that way. They needed to win this game, and they did enough to do that.
Exactly. All right. Well, with that, I think we'll get the music started and say that we will talk to you on Thursday heading into the Lions game. All right. Take care, everyone.
See you next time.